Have you ever felt the weight of being labeled all over the place because of your many passions? If so, let me ask you this. Are you ready to break free from the shackles of societal norms and boldly showcase your ability to innovate and turn vision into reality? Can you imagine aligning your passions, purpose, and profession without compromise? Well, you're not alone, and you're in the right place. I get it because I am you. I'm Jatia Jones of Jatia Jones Consulting, and I've walked the path of a multi-passionate. Welcome to the Confident and Courageous Clarity Podcast. Join me for inspiring conversations with multi-passionate CEOs who've turned their diverse passions into a force for change. We dive deep into our collective experiences, sharing invaluable lessons, and providing you with a strategic roadmap to manifest the life and business of your wildest dreams. This isn't just a podcast, it's a movement. And I'm not just your podcast host. I'm your partner in this dynamic journey. You, me, and the incredible community of multi-passionates. Get ready to unlock the confidence, courage, and clarity to help you become the world-changing multi-passionate CEO you were destined to be. As early as grade school, Greg Jones' insatiable curiosity and natural knack for storytelling often landed him in hot water. However, it was this very same energy that propelled him toward a path of transformative leadership and communication mastery. Today, as the founder and CEO of Innovative Technical Solutions and Greg Jones Consulting, he harnesses the relentless spirit to inspire and affect real change in organizations worldwide. With a master's degree in organizational psychology from the prestigious Harvard University, Greg has established himself as a thought leader in the realm of organizational behavior. As an authoritative voice in the field of organizational change, he doesn't just talk about change, he ignites it, fosters it, and equips you with the practical tools and insights you need to drive it. Yet Greg Jones' extraordinary journey isn't solely characterized by his academic and professional achievements. It is also profoundly marked by his personal transformation, which inspires and motivates audiences to embrace change not only in their professional lives, but also in their personal ones. Whether you're leading a multinational corporation through a major transition or a small business experiencing growing pains, Greg leverages his depth of knowledge and practical experience to ensure you come out stronger on the other side. Now let's jump into this week's episode.
Hello, 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 my dear friend. I am so excited to have you on the podcast. So welcome.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
I know you have a lot going on, so we're going to dive in because I also feel like this is going to be a real, real good conversation and we need all the time possible. But with that being said, if you'll just tell the people who you are and what you do.
Sure. Well, my name is Greg Jones. I am the CEO of Greg Jones Consulting. I'm also a principal member of another company called Innovative Technical Solutions. But in both capacities, I am pretty much the change specialist. Anything that has to do with change, be it organizational change, individual change, I do a lot of consulting work in that space. And honestly, a lot of my life has been centered around change, even getting to this position. So I'm also a father. I am a husband. I am an avid golfer. So all of those things encompass who I am. And I try to make it a point to bring those perspectives to all the things that I have my hands in.
Just so y'all know, I've known Greg for a mighty long time at this point. And so I have seen the transitions, but I am also happy to see the synergies in all of that. I'm one of your biggest cheerleaders, in case you didn't know. He's one of the friends that I brag on and be like, y'all know my friend worked here and here and here and did this and got his own app, right? So I just think a lot of the things that you've done over the years is absolutely amazing. And before I jump into the whole thing of like your journey, what for you has been like one of the, I guess now considered to be like your thought leadership? Like, what's that thing that makes you different than all the rest in your industry?
That is good. That's a great question. That makes me different. I think it's really just being able to bring together all of the different aspects of my life into the work that I do now. As you know, my professional career actually started in the fitness industry. So working with helping people change their bodies and change their eating habits and really change their thought process around living a healthy lifestyle. And the one thing that was consistent with working with those individuals is they would talk about my process and how I talked about getting in shape. It wasn't just about the exercises. It wasn't just about the food. It was really about the way that we thought about ourselves and the way that we approached it. And so more than anything, I was helping people get from their current state through a transition state to reach a future state. And at the same time, while running that fitness company, I was also dabbling and doing work in consulting and doing business analysis. And I recognized that organizations also have the same challenge of going from their current state through a transition state to get to their future state. And I think I have this natural ability to take complex ideas and make them understandable, make them palatable, make them acceptable for people to kind of follow. And I was able to kind of transition the thought process and the things that I would do in the fitness industry and move that into what I do now in organizational change. So I think the thing that makes me a little bit different is taking that innovation and that creativity of change. Growing up in a situation where you had to think outside the box to make things work for you in your favor, and using that synergy of things and applying it to the people that I work with, encouraging people to bring their whole selves, like I talked about, because obviously we're more than just one thing. I'm more than just a CEO. I was more than just a personal trainer. I'm more than just a father. But all of those things shape the way that we go about life. And I think I have this way of wrapping all of those things into easy to understand language, relatable analogies that help people make progress, be it in an individual standpoint or an organizational standpoint.
I agree 150%. The only two things that I would add is you definitely hold people accountable and you bring humor to it because you are hilarious, sir, just in case you didn't know. Which always makes going through, for me, going through a transition a whole lot easier, you know. And I also think too, they always say comedians, their comedy comes from pain, right? And so it started because it was a great coping mechanism to help them through that transition. And so I also have always thought that even when working out, when I really didn't want to hear what you had to say, if it was funny, it made it a little bit better, right? So I wanted to add those two things in, but I do agree with everything that you just stated and how you honed in on like life experience, the good, the bad, the ugly, and put it with your passions and your skill set to create what you wanted it to be over the years. And so with that, let's dive into the journey. Tell us like, who's the man before and who is the man through his own transition to get to this future, this current state? And what is your future state, you know?
Yeah, I think this is a, how much time we got for this question?
Listen, I'm here all day, but.
It's definitely been a journey to get to this point. And I think just like most people, you grow, you mature. It's kind of like a plant, right? You prune and you grow and you till the soil, you put it in the work, then you see the fruit of your labor. And it's really just kind of been a labor of love getting to this point and a lot of life lessons to get to this point. I even moving to DC where I live now, I moved from St. Louis 13 years ago. And the environment really did not facilitate what I was looking to get. And one thing about growth, your environment can 1000% stifle your growth. If you're not placed in an environment to grow, you could be stuck in the same place, kind of like plants, right? When it comes to wanting to grow a plant, if you keep a plant that's growing in a small pot, it will eventually die. And so you have to repot, you have to give it more space, you have to put it into an environment where it can thrive. And I felt like being in the Midwest was not necessarily an environment where I could thrive. So I came to visit DC, I saw innovation, I saw creativity, I saw affluency, I saw people who looked like me in my age group doing things that I aspired to do. And so that was the first big change for me, just that change and that shift in environment and really getting out of my own way to accept that I needed to make that move away from my family, away from my loved ones, to an area that I really knew nothing about. And from there, really kind of sparked the entrepreneurial spirit that I now have. I think like most people, I was searching for that comfort and that stability, just, hey, I just need to make sure I can get these bills paid and live a comfortable life. But again, this area showed me that there was a lot more to myself and availability to other things that I could do. And so I started to tap into that, which led me to starting my fitness company. And I think more than anything, having a group of people around you that showed you that, hey, there's more you can reach for, there's more that you can get to, there's more capability to reach your aspirations than you thought there were. Those self-limiting thoughts that you put on yourself, you recognize that you can get outside of that rut and really achieve things. And so really diving into that kind of has led me to where I am now. Like I said before, I started with fitness. I was also doing some work within the government with business analysis, agile coaching, executive coaching, and that led me to start my own company. And really the thrive to do that had to do with wanting to do things in a way that made sense to me and that in a way that I saw fit. As we know, in the 9-to-5 culture, you can kind of be limited to the job description, right? And when you have these multitude of skills and these multitude of passions, you don't always have the ability to utilize those within that job role. And so I was constantly looking to grow, wanting to grow. And as I said before, the environment didn't really facilitate that. So I wanted to create an environment where I could explore those things, where I could figure out, hey, how do we mesh what we do in my 9-to-5 work with some of the thoughts and ideas that I have with transitioning how organizations work and how people exist within the confines of an organization, and wanting to kind of create organizations where they were sanctuaries of growth, inspiration, this relentless pursuit of purpose, and allowing people to kind of chase those purpose more so than just looking at profits, right? Obviously, we all want to make money, but I wanted to make sure I was able to create a company, an organization where people can thrive and the people that we work with felt empowered to do the work that they do.
So you must have been reading my mind over here, because clearly you just tapped into so much, like my next question. But first, I want to rewind just a little bit, because you said you had to accept to leave family and friends, right? And so the OGs of the podcast know that we have the ABCs to clarity, and accept is the very first one, because that's the biggest pill to swallow. That is the thing that I see most in people that prevent us from reaching, I won't even say new heights, just the heights that we know we can go. Because many of us, and I see it more in females than I do in guys, and I think that's just because you guys feel that to your definition of manhood does not allow you room to fail whatsoever, right? In more so the career aspect, where most females drive their achievement normally in other areas, right? But we tend to not soar as high as we know we can. And that's mainly because we don't want to leave those, as I say, in the nest. We don't want to leave the family and friends and the ones we saw going all the way with us, but their weights on us and dragging us down or holding us back currently. And so we tend to do what we think is basic because everybody else is cheering and think it's so amazing when we know that it's our basic, instead of doing our best, because then we get the backlash of from those friends and family that you're too good for, you know, forgot where you came from and the and so you having the self-awareness to say, listen, I have to accept this, because that is a big pill to swallow, and then to move far and go and start over. I applaud you. And that's one of the things that I feel we all need to kind of kickstart and jumpstart our own journey, right? So that was one. And then two, you started to talk about those of us who have had the 9-to-5 and then the 5-to-9, or for most of us, it was more like 6-to-2 if it was me. and doing so because we didn't get the fulfillment at the 9-to-5, right? Or as they're calling them now, the employeepreneur. And I just think of so many other ones that I worked with that I thought, you know, had so much talent and drive that could do the thing, but they're still at the 9 to 5 that they know has absolutely no growth, right? Because whether it's I have kids or whatever the full stops are or the walls that they feel they can't overcome, they became a victim of fear of change. And so when it came to you or any of the people that you work with, because change is scary, even though that's the one constant we know will always happen. How did you know it was one time to pivot? And how did you manage the fear in that pivot?
Yeah, I mean, I think the fear that you talk about is real. It's 1000% real. And it feels more real when you get closer to the desire to make that change. And from a psychological standpoint, we like to have stability. We like to have comfort and certainty. And when it comes to change or making these types of pivots, naturally, our body feels worried about the uncertainty, the what ifs, the things that we don't know. But the thing that I kind of figured out was that the things that I was projecting, like, well, if I make this move, what if this happens, that there was also an opposite to that. Well, what if it doesn't, right? You know, what if I fail? Well, what if I succeed? Man, well, what if I lose all my money? Well, what if I don't? And the other part of just diving into those what ifs, even the negative ones, if you do an analysis, you know, just again, with being honest with yourself, okay, let's say that I go out, I quit my job, or I just take a leave to kind of figure out what the next thing is for me, and it doesn't work. What's the worst case? Well, really, the worst case is I just get another job, right? You just kind of go back to where you started from. And when I started to dissect, you know, the real outcome of the negative thoughts I was having, they really weren't all that bad. Most of them just put me into the place that I already was. It didn't set me back at all. But then when I looked at the upside to it, it far outweighed where I currently was. So it was really just kind of sitting down and really doing an analysis of what's the reality of what I wanted to do. And I think all of us have these like little whispers in the back of our mind, these things that like tug at us that say, hey, it's time. It's time to do something different. It's time to take that next step. But we feel like that change is going to stifle us, right? We feel like that change is going to set us back. And we never really think about the positive aspect or the what if from a positive aspect. I think more importantly, when you don't give in to those thoughts, you unlock a whole new side of yourself. I talk about it now as I'm in my harvest season. And if you know anything about gardening, you know, you till the land, you plant seeds, you have to water them. And over time, they just take time to grow, right? There's a lot of work that goes into it. Some plants die, some flourish. You know, some things don't grow in the way that you want them to. But I think because of the willingness to go beyond kind of that fear of that unknown, I've reached a point where I'm able to harvest from all of the work that I put in. But had I just stopped at that fear, had I just stopped at that level of comfort and hadn't journeyed into that space of unknown, I wouldn't have unlocked this kind of space that I'm in now. And the beauty of it is that I really, and this kind of sounds weird saying it out loud now that I'm hearing myself, I really feel like I'm in a space where there's not too many things I can accomplish or at least get close to. And that's because I know what I've done. And to kind of put a bow on the answer, we're all familiar with our work resumes, right? And our work resume talks about, you know, all the jobs that we've worked in, our capabilities, the work that we've done, but we also have a personal resume. And when you start to challenge that uncertainty and you start to reach beyond those fears, you can look back at that resume and say, oh, well, I've done this. I've proven that I can overcome. I've proven that I could beat the odds. I've proven that I could step out on faith and be successful. And so we really have to start to look at our personal resumes in the same way that we look at our professional resumes to show that we're qualified for that next thing.
Mm-hmm. That was really good. And, you know, this is probably going to put you on the spot because I didn't throw this one in a mix of questions. But
no, it's all good.
One of the things that I'm noticing with my current clients, a lot of them are reaching like that professional level of achievement or success, right? And they're now saying, okay, but I'm not personally fulfilled, because we've been taught or conditioned that they have to be two separate things. And I try to, especially our multi-passionate, multi-skilled people, you have to bring all of you to the table in order to truly thrive. Like, even if you brought part of your personal to your professional table, that can only like triple fold the outcome and output that you would actually produce. But one of the things that I've seen is that as we transition to, let's say, that purpose-driven vision or mission and transforming it into a reality, not having the playbook scares the holy pajeezies out of them. And it paralyzes them, right? Because it's so easy, because life has been a playbook for us. Either you go to college, you get a job, like the playbook is there and you just run it. You run it to the best of your ability, right? And so some of us have won some games, a few have won some championships. However, there's also not as much risk when we're doing it for someone else. Mm-hmm. We're gonna make sure that we perform because we know that we can do the thing, but we know that we can do the thing because we're running the playbook. And so when you step out there and you create your own, there is no playbook.
Right.
You become the architect. Yep. You got to build the blueprint and you got to run the plays. And so a lot of times they're paralyzed because it's like, well, what if all of those what ifs again, it doesn't work. And therefore you don't even get past game one because you won't run the plays. And so taking that into consideration, when you decided to build your own blueprint or your own playbook, like what did that look like? What were the mental blocks and or challenges that you found yourself having to overcome and doing the drills to overcome them to win the game?
Yeah, I think in one piece, just kind of staying with the playbook mindset, one thing is you don't have to reinvent the wheel for all of it, right? I think we all have professional experience in other aspects, and there are things that we can take that work there that can work when it's time to go on our own. And I think that's a key part of thinking about making that transition from 9 to 5 to entrepreneurship, is being able to utilize what you've learned and apply it in this different field of play, right? It's still applicable. You know, good habits are good habits, good plays are good plays, but you can tweak them how you want. The other part for me that allowed me to kind of create my own blueprint is two quotes that my cousin gave me. He's no longer with us, but just to kind of give you some background on him, he was a software developer, self-taught. He was one of the first to graduate college in my family. So he was like the all-star. And actually, he's the person who encouraged me to move out to DC because he saw something in me that honestly, I didn't see in myself at the time. But the two things that he told me that just made a world of difference, number one is you need to learn how you learn. And that's crucial, right? When you understand the way that you can intake information and understand it and have the ability to apply it, it changes the game, because there's nothing out there that you can't absorb if you know how you learn. For some people, that's hands-on. For some people, that's YouTube University. For some people, that's taking a course. For some people, that's reading a pamphlet. But if you're able to understand the way that you learn, you can analyze the gaps that you have in your current playbook and go out and learn those things if you know how to do that effectively. So that's a key part. And it also takes away some of the scariness of going out there when you don't know something, knowing that, well, I don't know it, but I know that I can learn in this aspect or in this way. So that was a key one for me. The other one that's tightly coupled with learn how you learn was to teach yourself how to teach yourself. Not everything that we need to learn is going to be readily available to us. And sometimes you have to have that key to teach yourself how to do something. And that involves the discipline, that involves the know-how, that involves the researching, how to go find the information. And when you know how you learn, it makes it easier to teach yourself to do something. And so combining those two things for me were crucial in creating my playbook to success, my playbook to life, my playbook to marriage, my playbook to just about every aspect of the things that I do, because whenever I find that there's a gap between where I am and where I need to be, I know how I learn best and I know how to teach myself. And the third thing that I kind of added on my own is having being willing to be humble enough to go seek advice and ask for help. I think that's one that we fail at a lot. There's this stigma that's put on asking for help that is one that is not necessary, right? Being a self-made person, I did it on my own. I got it out the mud. It sounds good, but you have people that you have access to that can help you. And so when you are able to say, hey, Jatia, I see that you are having great success on a podcast. I have an interest in doing so. I know your time is important. I'm okay with paying for that time if necessary, but would you be willing to show me what you know? That's huge, right? And what you do in that aspect is you take the 10 years of experience that Jatia has in her field, and you're able to distill it down to the hour conversation that you'll have. And you've saved yourself a ton of time. So regardless of the cost that you tell me, if you tell me a cost at all, it's likely going to be worth it, right? Because you just got 10 years of experience in an hour-long conversation. And so again, thinking about those three things, learning how you learn, having the ability to teach yourself, and being humble enough to ask for help when you can't fulfill those things with those two previous points, those have been monumental in creating my playbook.
Mm-hmm. That is very true. And you know, most of the time, like you said, if I charge it, most people who have the knowledge, for the most part, especially if you've created that relationship and that network, is going to be like, oh, duh, you should ask me like 500 years sooner, right? The answer is going to be yes. And so it does accelerate your timeline when you do. And I do understand there are those times that you don't even know what your ask is. People have asked me, well, how can I help you? I don't know. But when I find out, I'll let you know. So I do get those. But when it's an easy ask, I do encourage you to ask. And then it was something else that you were saying too. Oh, so you said that, you know, taking what you've learned and applying it elsewhere. What if there was anything that you had to unlearn? What was that?
Yeah, there was a lot of unlearning. A lot of it had to do with leadership, to be honest. I've kind of worked what I call under what I call the old guard of leadership, which is this kind of authoritarian, you know, the leader sits up on high, he tells everyone what else to do, and you go do it and report back. And that's what I learned from leadership. Even with playing sports, right? You had a coach. The coach told you what to do. You do what the coach says. And that's the box that you lived in. If you go back further than that, you think about school. The teacher says, this is the way you do it. This is how we're going to learn. And that was the box that you stayed in. And so I kind of learned this authoritarian approach to leading. And I found that it was detrimental to a lot of people around me and even the people that I worked with in those areas. What we talk about a lot is kind of being a multi-passionate, having these different skills and abilities and wanting to feel this level of belonging and the sense of purpose with the work that you do. And that was a big thing that I had to unlearn, so much that the motto of my company is empowering the people that power the process. And that's really what leadership is about, empowering people, right? Because as a leader, you know, I have the philosophy that it's better for me to be the conductor than the soloist. Right. If you think about an orchestra, as the soloist, I'm the person. Everybody's looking at me. When it's my time to shine, everyone else stops and I do my thing. Right. That's what leaders sometimes feel like and try to look like. But when you can be the conductor, you get the best out of the people around you. You get the best out of the diversity of thought. You have an insight to what the, you know, to what the trumpet should do, but you're not trying to do it. You let those people do what they do because that's their thing. And when it's time for the violins to come in, you say, hey, violins, we need you now. Let's bring these people together. And I feel like this is a time where we all need to play at the same time. And that's the beauty of taking that conductor approach to leadership, is that you get the most out of the people that work with you. You allow that diversity of thought to kind of lead the strategy and lead the vision. And more than anything, by taking that approach, you develop more leaders, which is another key aspect of leadership. Being a leader is about creating other leaders. If you can do that, you have people who will run through brick walls for you, right? You'll have people who are willing to like pour in to the vision because you're getting the best out of them. You're empowering them to do their best in the things that they're best at and allowing them to grow and help develop them as leaders.
A whole mic drop word. like my first job in the area, You know, coming from Georgia, I thought it was paying money, but it was not, not for the DC area. But when I tell you, like, I gave a 525% to that lady who is now still a mentor and a friend, because she was a true leader. Like, she cared and she poured into and still does. And it made million times more impact for me, because like you said earlier, with being multi-passionate, it's important to feel seen and understood, right? A lot of times, because we are very good at a lot of things, and a lot of things comes easy to us compared to most, that light that we shine irritates so many other people, even though we just trying to help, right? And so you, especially in the workplace, as if they still use the word haters, you get a lot of haters, right, who try to block your way. So when you do find the real leaders who are still there to lift you up and move you along your path, it's amazing. But with that being said, have you ever experienced feeling like a black sheep? And how did that motivate you and or defeat you? Because I know I was trying to start this movement, Black Sheep Movement, because we're the ones that stand out, even though we try so hard to blend in. And I always use the analogy, because I love dogs, pit bulls especially. And when you're the outcast, they try to get rid of you, and then all of a sudden you're the prize, right? And and now black sheep wool is just as valuable as other sheep. So has there been a time in life where you felt like a black sheep, and how did that affect you?
Absolutely. 1000% I have. But really, here's my thing. When I think about the concept of, and how I felt about being a black sheep in many moments, it's not really about the world being ready for me. It's about me stepping up, pushing through, and creating space for my voice. Creating space for my essence so that it can't be ignored, right? And being a black sheep means that I see the world differently, which is fine, because in many cases, that's kind of my superpower, right? Being able to bring that different view. But to specifically speak to the question, and I talked about this on a panel that I was on earlier this year, one of the things that happened with me is kind of being overlooked. And kind of like you said, I was always trying to utilize my full skill set, and I would always be pushed back into my box. That's not your job. That's not your responsibility. Here's your job description. Get back into your box. And because of that, I would be what I feel like was overlooked for certain things, and not chosen for certain things that I had the capability for, that I've proven that I could do. And what I had to learn was, you know, not being chosen doesn't mean you aren't worthy, right? Being chosen and being worthy are not connected. Being chosen is the outcome of someone else's purview, of their perspective, of their subjectiveness. Being worthy is how you conduct yourself, how you manage yourself, your discipline, and what you bring to the table. And for most of us, we typically bring what's necessary. So just because you don't have it in this aspect, or you didn't get it in this situation, doesn't mean that you won't be worthy, or that you won't have it when your time comes. So yeah, definitely felt like the black sheep in some of those situations because of my perspective. But like I said, it was really changing my mindset about, you know, being the outcast isn't necessarily about me blending in or having people understand my perspective. It was more so about pushing through and allowing my essence to shine in the spaces that I was in.
Mm-hmm. I love that, because so many of us become bitter or angry, right? And we want to just yell louder until somebody sees and hears and acknowledges. When honestly, I do feel that a lot of times these are part of those life lessons to nudge you in the right direction to create that playbook, right? Because if you stay in the status quo or the shoulds or societal norms, then tomorrow will never be different than it is today, especially when you're the chosen one. You know, I'm sorry, I was about to quote, I want the knife. But when you're the chosen one,
Murphy.
Exactly, right? Like, there's times where that thing continues to nag at you until you go, right? And so a lot of times we aren't seen or acknowledged or given the credit that we think we should in this box. And that's because you're supposed to step out of it and bring all of you to build the next.
I just want to add one point to that, because I heard it, so I got to say it, because I'm a big person about faith. And I honestly feel like even in those instances, you know, what God has for you will not miss you. Mm-hmm. Right. And so we have to look at open doors in the same way as we look at closed doors. Exactly. If a door closes for you, it closed for a reason, because that wasn't for you. That mm-hmm. wasn't the thing that you needed in that moment, in that season. Or it could be that, hey, that thing that you wanted so bad, you're not at a point where you could sustain yourself in that environment. So God says, no, not yet. Not no, but no, not yet. And so we have to have that perspective as well. Like having those closed doors, not getting opportunities, being told no, isn't always a bad thing. Sometimes it's a sense of protection, right? Sometimes it's a sense of motivation to make you more aware of, you know what, I need to make sure the next time that comes about, I'm ready for it. And even mm-hmm. if I'm told no, I know that the thing that I'm told yes was the thing that I was supposed to have. So I felt called to say that. So I just want to add that to everything that we've said to this point.
No, I appreciate that, because if they're new to the podcast, they will quickly learn that we love God over here, because I'm hood and holy. And so you're going to get a little bit of both, because honestly, I say that it's too much of a coincidence to be a coincidence, mm-hmm. i.e. the word miracle is in the dictionary for a reason. And so there is a greater force a lot of times that drops these visions or desires or dreams into our hearts that we have to then figure out how to execute. And that is majority of our journey is getting the life experience like you would do on a job, like you said, that personal resume to be able to execute in excellence what we need in order to be the chosen one, in order mm-hmm. to change today into a better tomorrow. And so, yes, I second everything you just stated. And so I wanted to also ask, because I know for me personally, you said overlooked. It always made me feel like the underdog, right? Mm-hmm. I might not have been overlooked. There were many times that I was acknowledged for my skill set, what I brought to the table. However, I was still not compensated. Yeah. I learned to accept being the underdog, because I love a good nanny boo-boo. God is still working on me. And so there is some petty in me. I'm going to show you, right? The villain in my story, if I had one, would be status quo or societal mm-hmm. norms. And I've always felt different and I hate being the normal or looking like the norm, or that's just always a thing. And so mm-hmm. with the status quo or the box that they put us in, what was the biggest thing that was the should that drove you for so long when you were following someone else's playbook that you said, F that, throw it out the window? And what's like that new normal for you?
Good question. I think more than anything, following someone else's playbook, kind of being in that status quo, that societal norm space, again, it has to do with that comfort, right? Everyone's around me doing it, so maybe this is what I should be doing. All right, well, this is kind of how things are looked at. Well, this is going to be what I do also. The thing that kind of pushed me to go outside of that box is recognizing that it wasn't for me. I didn't feel fulfilled in those shoes. Have you ever put on somebody else's shoes and it just wasn't the right size, right? Whether it's too big or too small, it's just hard to do anything that you're trying to do. If the shoe is too small, they hurt, you know, your feet all cramped up. And even when you take them off, you feel the residual pain of trying to be in someone else's shoes.
Preach.
They're too big. They're all floppy. They don't look right with your aesthetic. And, you know, you can't move because they falling off. And I think sometimes, you know, when we try to fall in line with someone else's plan or with someone else's status quo, that's kind of how it is. It's kind of having those too small or too big shoes. And I just wanted to have the one that was right for me, that I felt comfortable with. And it took trying different shoes, right? To kind of stick with the analogy, it took experimenting and figuring out, you know, what is it about this that's uncomfortable? What is it about this that I'm looking for and that I'm searching for, this fulfillment that I'm after? And I think it all comes back to what we started with, was bringing our whole selves. For a long time, I condensed what I was after to just my professional and academic accolades. I didn't think about who Greg was and the things that I wanted, you know, to be a part of my life. And once I started to think about it from that perspective, that started to push me, okay, this is what I want. So before remote work was a thing, a big thing, I knew I wanted to work 3 to 4 days a week and, you know, at home and in the space that I was comfortable with. I wanted to be able to travel and work. I wanted to do things with my wife and my family. I knew that's what I was after. And kind of going back to my time in the fitness industry, before the pandemic hit in 2017, I started a fitness app. Now, at that time in the fitness industry, it was gyms, personal training, and, you know, face-to-face. That was really the big thing. There were a couple of things, you know, P90X were kind of doing the tapes, but there wasn't a ton of, like, apps that were really going after personal training. There's more group training stuff. And when I figured out that trading hours for dollars, like literally physically having to be in front of a client to work and earn money, was limiting myself because there was only so many hours in a day. There was only so many people I could see in a day. And I was like, well, what's the way that I could create the life that I want, which is more mobility, more freedom, more time? And so the app was really my way to get to that. And so when the pandemic hit in 2020 and all the gyms closed down, I was already rolling in that space. And I think it was because I started to think outside of the box of just a trainer is face-to-face, meeting with people, doing things in the gym, because I was considering the type of life that I wanted to live. And when you think about individuals wanting to break out of the status quo, I think it's more about transitioning out of just thinking about the academic portion. What skills and degrees do I have that can allow me to make more money and do a job? What professional skills and attributes do I want? Those things are great to consider, but what type of life do you want to live, right? How do you want to spend time with your spouse? What type of parent do you want to be? What type of husband or wife do you want to be? How much time do you want to spend with your family? How much do you want to see the country? Like, think about those things and you can start to shape a life to fit that. You can say yes to things that make sense and no to the things that don't. And I think that takes a level of discipline because just like God will open the door, he will test you as well, right? Because in the same way that I say in 2024, a main focus for me is time with my family, seeing my son grow, and earning the income where we can live a comfortable life. And then you get a call that says, hey, Greg, I got this job for you to come back out to work at Nike, but you got to live in Oregon again. And we're going to pay you X amount of dollars. And it's a good number. Sounds good. It's like, oh, we can make that work. But does that match what you said how you wanted to live? It doesn't. It's going to take me away from my family. It's going to take me away from my son. They're not wanting to uproot and move out to Oregon. And frankly, I don't want to live in Oregon again anyway. So, you know, you have to make those sacrifices. But when you're acknowledged and you are aware of the type of life that you want to live holistically, you can start to break out of that status quo and shape something that fits you.
Mm-hmm. And the word holistically, you know, so many people are like, oh, I just don't want to work and I want to make money. And so, you know, and I've had clients that are like, okay, well, just show me how, like, everything is the focus on the money. And yeah, what I want to point out is that if you pay attention to the passion,
yes,
if you pay attention to the service that goes along with the passion, you're doing it for somebody else other than you, because i.e. clients, that's what it's all about. Mm-hmm. Then and only then will those priorities align. Will those priorities force you into a funnel to be able to say no to the big number when you're not just focused, yep, on the money? Because the money will have you running rampant and not getting anywhere.
Absolutely.
And doing the opposite of why you're doing this thing. You won't be living the life of your dreams. You'll just be working to live. And so I wanted to point that out. So I don't know, I only have you for a set amount of time and I want to respect your time. So the last punch question of the day,
okay,
how does Greg want to change the world? What is the impact that you want to have?
That's a deep question.
I know, right?
World. I think my view in changing the world has a lot to do with how I approach my work. Even in that question, how do you want to change the world? It seems like such a big thing. It seems too big, right? But the reality is we all have the opportunity to do our small part. When we break down that question of how do I want to change the world into something that's more manageable, into something that you can have an immediate impact on, and you do that repeatedly, I think that's where you start to see the impact of what you do. But in terms of how would I like to change the world, I really want it to be to create a place, a workplace, your home, places within yourself where people aren't held captive to their fears and their limitations, right? I want people to feel like they have the ability to go after the things that they want, be it personal or within an organization. You know, I kind of talked about where your workplace, where your home, where the body that you are present in feels like a place of growth and inspiration in this relentless pursuit of the purpose and the passion that you have, where, to your point, like we just talked about, we're not just chasing profits, we're chasing purpose. You know, we want to be doing things that feel purposeful to us. And to kind of have this change in mindset where you can have the things that you want. You have to be willing to do the things that are necessary to get there. And so when I think about my impact on the world, it's shaping mindsets of individuals and organizations to really achieve that, to kind of have that limitless feeling about themselves, where the fears fall to the wayside. We acknowledge them, but we recognize that we have, again, this resume of overcoming that we can lean upon to achieve the things that we want to.
Mm-hmm. Love it, love it, love it. Okay, so let's tell the people where they can find you. Oh, before we do that too, I also want you, I'm a big advocate of telling people like our needs, mm-hmm. so they can go out and help bring them back to us. So like, right. What's a goal of yours? I know you're speaking these days. So like, who's your ideal person that you want to speak for or company? Make sure you include that and then tell the people where they can find you.
Sure. I'm glad you add that, because again, as much as I can get on here and speak about all the things that we talked about and talk eloquently about change and dropping limits and being fearless, we still embody some of those things ourselves. And having that ability to ask for what we need is something that, as I instruct people to do, I too am working through. So I'm glad that you put me on the spot to ask for that. But one of the spaces that I'm looking to move more into, as you mentioned, is more keynotes, more workshops, more public speaking, working with large to small organizations. So if you are a large organization that has, you know, 1,000+ employees, I'd love to come and speak to your organization about leadership, about empowering the people that power the process, about creating productive teams, and really just about achieving organizational agility and organization productivity in ways that aren't traditional, right? With my own spin on it. So I'd love to do more of that. Do a lot of leadership coaching. So if you are a small business owner and you're looking for, hey, I need insights to figure out, how do I create my blueprint? You know, what things can I do to make this transition from, you know, 9-to-5 work to entrepreneurship and really understanding all the things that exist in between? So more coaching in that aspect. So yeah, those are the things that I'm looking to do and some of the needs that I have from a professional standpoint. Places where you can find me. You can find me on Instagram. I'm quite active there, especially more recently at G Jones Said It. That's G.Jones.Said.It on Instagram. You can find me on our website at gjc.consulting. I'm sorry, gregjones.consulting. You can email me at gjc.consulting. What else? What are the other things I'm active on? I'm active on LinkedIn. I do not know my LinkedIn tag, but if you type in
Greg Jones,
yeah, there we go. Yeah, you can find me there as well. But those are really the places where you can find me. And I'm happy to interact with people. If there's something that I could do, that I could say, that I could provide, I'm happy to do so.
Perfect, perfect. So thank you for your time. Thank you for your brain. Thank you for your service to so many, even if you don't know it. But yes, I can't wait for the people to hear all of these nuggets. And y'all reach out to Greg. I'm telling you, he's the truth, and no matter what he does, okay? And I'm even going to tag your golf page because I get so excited to see y'all in your like fly golf apparel. I've been sharing you with every Black male that I know that is getting into golf. One of my best friends, her son is getting into it in high school. And so it. I shared your guys' page with them. So I love that. With that being said, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And enjoy your day.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you for tuning into another episode of the Confident and Courageous Clarity Podcast. I hope you found the incredible stories and insights shared to be helpful. Now, before you go, I want to take a moment to express my genuine gratitude to each and every one of you. Your commitment to aligning your passions, purpose, and profession is what makes this podcast community so special. If you resonated with any of today's episode, I encourage you to hit the subscribe button. By subscribing, you're not just joining a podcast, you're becoming a part of a movement that celebrates the brilliance of being multi-passionate. To amplify this movement, I need your help. Share this podcast with your friends, colleagues, and fellow multi-passionates. Let's create a ripple effect of empowerment and inspiration. Lastly, I'm eager to hear your thoughts. What stood out the most in today's episode? Drop a comment or share your takeaways on social media by using the hashtag Confident and Courageous Clarity Podcast. Your insights might just spark a connection or the clarity someone else needs. Remember, the power of multi-passionates lies in our collective journey. And by sharing our stories, not only do we inspire each other, but also break down barriers and redefine success on our own terms. Your support means the world, and together we're building a space where multi-passion meets purpose and dreams evolve into reality. Stay confident, stay courageous, and let's continue this transformative journey together. Until next time, keep thriving and becoming the world-changing multi-passionate CEO you were destined to be. If you're not a part of the community and desire to join us, click the link in the show notes or visit JatiaJones.com/community.